is the IPSE SDA Media Network.
Good afternoon. And happy Sabbath, everyone. It is so good to look out here in the audience and see how God has blessed each and every one of you to be here this day. This is not the subject I wanted to talk about, but the Holy Spirit said, "Who are you?" And he said, "We call you to be the prayer ministry of the church." So the Holy Spirit said, "It's about prayer." And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Let's pray. Loving, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, we invite your Holy Spirit. We invite your Holy Spirit to cover each and every individual that's in the presence of my voice, those that are here and those that are at home. May you touch them, Father, with the words you impressed upon my heart and anoint my lips, Father, that they will come out with understanding and clarity. In the name of Jesus, I pray and thank you. Amen and amen. I have a question to ask you. Have you ever been awakened from a restful, peaceful sleep at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? You ever wonder why? Because God wants to talk with you. He calls to us because we are his children. And he wants to communicate at that time. Because early in the morning, he would waken his son, Christ Jesus, from slumber and bring him forward to him. And then he would anoint his soul and his lips so that he would be able to carry on the work that he had set before him that day. So you have to ask yourself, if our Heavenly Father awakened his son in the morning so that he could be in his presence with words of prayer to anoint him, how much more should we who are sitting here and in the listening audience should wake up with a word of prayer on our lips in the morning? I'm going to quote a few things from Ellen G. White's. First, it's from Steps to Christ, page 95. If Jesus sought daily conference with his heavenly Father for renewal of physical and spiritual strength, then why don't we? The angels look at us and they just shake their head saying, "What is wrong with those people?" They're probably not saying it that way because we do not seek the counsel of our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares about us on a daily basis. And the Lord says to us, when the angels shake their heads, they shake their heads in pity. I want to know, how many of you all have your Bibles with you, either your Bibles or on your phone? Because you're not going to see any scriptures up there because they're written in here. So I ask that you will go with me to Matthew 11, 28, because the Lord is telling us each and every day what he desires for us. Matthew 11, 28, I will read in your hearing. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," and what will he give you? "And I will give you rest." We have a God that is so loving that he says, "Come on, give it to me. I will take anything that you throw at me. I will give you rest." Amen. Then go to Peter, 1 Peter 5, 7. And once again, he's saying to you, and when you get there, please say amen. 1 Peter 5, 7. He's saying to us, "Casting all your cares upon me," for what reason? "For I care for you." It don't get any better than that when you have a Heavenly Father who loves you so much that he's saying, "Give it to me. Give me whatever you all are holding in, any burdens, financial, mental, anything. Give it to me. Cast it upon me. I am your heavenly Father. You are my children. And he's saying, just give it to me. And Luke 18:1, I will just tell you what it says. Men ought always to pray and not faint. How much, how often do sometimes we get so much that we almost feel like we're getting ready just to fall down? The weight gets so heavy that sometimes we might fall on our bed. Me, I holler out, help me, Lord Jesus. Because he says, I care for you. And regardless of who you are, what age, he cares for you because he created every last one of us in his image. And when he says he cares for us, he means it. Now you have heard what was read in Jeremiah 29:11. For he knows the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So wait on the Lord. He says, give me everything that's weighing you down, and I will give you rest. We serve a good God, a loving God, a caring God. We are his children. Sometimes we as adults forget that we are his children. God's been around forever. We haven't yet. So that's why we are his children. I want to ask many of you all in here, what is the first prayer that you were taught, more than likely by your mother? The first prayer that I was taught, I was kneeling at my bed and my mother said, I'm going to teach you this prayer. And if you know it when I start, you can recite it with me. It's, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That is a prayer that my mother taught me. I was tight-tongued in everything as a little child, and I tried to say those words, but then the day came when I was able to say them with clarity and everything. I was so proud of myself. And then came the time that I was ready to go to school, and my mother had composed a prayer for my three brothers and I, and that prayer went like this. I have my mother's Bible, and it's written in there, and I just happened to be looking, and I found it. Lord, be my shepherd while I'm away. Keep me safe throughout this day. Order my footsteps on my way to my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. We would have to leave that house every day with that prayer on our lips. And most of you older understand what we were going through at that time. So my mother was not just protecting us in prayer, but she knew we needed prayer. It's about prayer, my brothers and sisters. When I renewed my faith with the Lord 35 years ago, I came to the Lord and I said, Lord, I know I have stepped out, but I prayed, and other people were praying for me, and the Lord saved me and brought me back to the church. And I said, Lord, from this day on, I want to lay all my plans at your feet. And walking through my field, anybody who had been out where I lived in the country, we could walk through the fields. And I remember walking one day out there, and I said, Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want? I didn't know. He says, we have not because we ask not. And he didn't answer me, at least not right away. He had to break me. He had to melt me. He had to mold me. And he's still shaping me as I speak right now. Amen. And then one day, I was walking through the field. I would do that quite often. That's where I sought the Lord. I'm walking through the field, and I hear this voice. And I'm like, nah, I didn't hear that. I did not hear that. And I continue to walk, and I'm sitting on this log, and I hear the voice again say, Catherine. And the voice says to me, I will teach you, I will instruct thee, and teach you the way in which you should go, and I will guide you with my eyes. That's Psalms 32:8, if you want to write that down. That's Psalms 32:8. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which you should go. I will guide you with my eyes, and this is what I want. My house shall be called a house of prayer. This is what I want you to do. And I'm saying, no, Lord, not me, please. Not me. He said, I want you to start a prayer group at the church. And it was 22 years ago that I stood in this very spot and made the announcement. I'm going to start a prayer group. Meet in a conference room. I figured maybe four or five people would show up. 20 people showed up.
Amen.
Came together and we began to pray for the prayer requests and whatever was on their hearts. We prayed. And we began to see the working of the Holy Spirit moving through this church on hearts, lives, minds, bodies, and souls of our brothers and sisters, not just in the church, but those that was out in the world. So the Lord said, make my house a house of prayer. And right now, we don't have that 20. We have six faithful and two additions to the prayer warrior group. We call it the war room. So if you're walking down the hall on that side, it's called the war room. We go in there and we pray. And so I know that prayer warriors are in other churches because many who left here have taken it or joined groups in other churches. It's about prayer. It's about having that relationship and that companionship with the Lord. He wants us to come to him. Pastor Shaw came to this church, I forget how long ago, it might be 17 or 18 years ago, and he introduced to us at prayer meeting, Jabez. Who knows anything about Jabez? Let me see your hands. It's very little in the Bible about Jabez. But the thing about Jabez, if you go to 1 Chronicles 4:9 with me, I want you to read that. 1 Chronicles 4:9. And when you have it, please say amen. And we're going to be reading from 9. And it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrows. Can you imagine telling a child that you were born in sorrows? That can have a negative impact on anyone. For a parent to say to that individual, I bore you in sorrows. But Jabez didn't let that touch him. Let's read on. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that thine hands be with me, and thou would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And God granted him that request. Monica Johnson and I claim that as our prayer. And the Lord enlarged our territory. And he keeps enlarging it. That is just such a simple prayer. We don't have to have elaborate prayers. A simple prayer will do. My brothers and sisters, it's about prayer. and the relationship that you have with the Lord. In the times that we are living right now, we need that persistent, consistent prayer life. We need to draw closer to the Lord because He is our Heavenly Father, and He wants to hear from us. The thing about prayer is we need to understand we have to pray without ceasing. Paul admonished the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And that don't mean you have to run into the grocery stores, post office, the malls, and be constantly, Lord, help me, and just praying, but be in the frame of heart and mind of prayer. Because when you need it, it will be there. So I'm not trying to tell you all how to pray, but it is about having a prayerful life and having that companionship with your Heavenly Father. Now, how do you talk to God? Just like I'm talking to you as a friend. Prayer is the opening of one's heart to God as a friend. He's your friend. He will do you no harm. Prayer does not bring God down here, but it brings us up to Him. What a blessing to know that when you're praying, we're in the presence of God. We've been brought up to Him. So early in the morning, the first words that should come off your lips should be, thank you, Jesus. The reason why I do that is that I don't know what battles was waged over me while I was sleeping, because we have an enemy that's out there. And that enemy waits for every opportunity. And sometimes when we're sleeping, we have to be sure that we have prayed before we went and asked for the Holy Spirit. And we know we have the angels, but sometimes we need just a little bit more. And that's the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord. Now, prayer became a very active part of my life from a very young age. Even when I stepped outside the boundaries of my church, I still prayed. And the Lord rescued me because He knew He had a work for me to do. But the thing about prayer, we have to remember, it takes practice. It has to be a habit that you all need to develop. I want to share a story with you all. I love sports. Particularly, I like basketball. Because professional basketball, because it's like poetry in motion. I said, how did they do that? There was this one gentleman that played for the Philadelphia 76ers. I can't call his name. And the sports broadcasters would say, hey, where's your scoring guy? He wouldn't show up for practice. And the coach would say, well, he doesn't feel he needs practice. And this young man heard this, and he gets on the news, and he said, practice? This man talk about practice. Practice? I don't need to practice. Did he not realize what got him to the NBA? Prayer will get us to the kingdom of heaven. If we pray, ask for the Holy Spirit in faith, believing, prayer works, my brothers and sisters. Prayer works, so take time to practice it. Develop the habit and drink of the living water that the Lord offers us every day. And you'll be surprised how your attitude, how your work go, and everything that you encounter, just pray. Help me, Lord Jesus. I was going home from prayer meeting one night, and it had rained, and the temperature had dropped. I was on Whitaker Road, and there's a bridge. I'm coming around the bend, and my car starts heading right towards it, and right away, help me, Lord Jesus, the car straightened out. I prayed all the way home, prayed all the thanking God, ooh, Lord, because I can imagine what could have happened to me. But when you pray, the angels are always right there waiting for it. So turn off some of those distractions in your life. Turn them off Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel, and 3 days, three times a day, find time to pray. And more, when you find the time, you're standing by your kitchen sink, thank God for that glass of water. Amen. Thank God that he got you home safe. Thank God, give God the glory, give God the praise. Let him know that we're not just greedy and asking for ourselves, but we're letting him know how much we appreciate what he's done. Prayer is the answer. Prayer will keep the enemy at bay if you begin your day in the presence of your Heavenly Father. And prayer will give you a strong life to resist the enemy. I want you all to go with me to Luke. I'm just about through. You're probably saying, wow, she's done already? Just about. Go with me to Luke 4. Luke 4 talks about the temptations. And I will read in your hearing. And I want you to hear what is being said here. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. But Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. Now, I said to myself, if I was Satan, I would have kind of stepped back a little and got out of his way. But Satan don't get out of nobody's way. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, and all will be yours. Amen. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now he's telling Satan, you don't own this. He's telling him, worship your God. He's telling him, I am your God. I created you. And you're going to have nerve to tell me that you can give me this? Please, get thee behind me. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of Jerusalem temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot. He had the nerve to use the throwback at Jesus. It is written. And Jesus just politely said, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, 13 is where, in the King James Version, is where I really want you to understand our enemy. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him. These last four words, until an opportune time. So if he's waiting to get at Jesus, what do you think he's waiting for us? Every opportune time. Satan stands back. Now, you all tell me if you ever heard this. I went to my family reunions, and I would hear people say, she's just like so-and-so-so. You all ever heard that? He's just like so-and-so-so. And they're going back generations, telling. So Satan knows us. I call him the Energizer Bunny, because he keeps going and going and going until he's gone. Praise God. We have to realize that Satan waits patiently for opportunities to tempt us at our weakest. It's about our prayer life. How's your prayer life? When your mind is in a constant state of prayer, the enemy can't make his playground there. It's about prayer, my brothers and sisters, because what we call peace right now, praying in the time of peace, prepares us for the time of trouble, which is coming more and more and more. So remember, praying without ceasing, asking for the Holy Spirit in faith, believing always God hears our prayers, because our God answers every last prayer. He may not answer it the way you want it answered, but he answers. The answer may be yes, maybe no, or wait. But he answers our prayers. And our prayers are recorded by the angels. And the Holy Spirit takes them to them with moaning, groaning, and utterance that we will never be able to understand. My brothers and sisters, it's about prayer. And all I just want to close with, my brothers and sisters, this day, I ask that you invite the Holy Spirit be the head of your household. Invite the Holy Spirit to be the guest at every meal. And invite the Holy Spirit to be the silent listener at every conversation. You can't go wrong when you do that. Now, my brothers and sisters, I have a request. I want you to step out of your comfort zone, and I want you to come forward. All of us need prayer, and I want you to come up, and we're going to pray. Those of you who are troubled at your jobs, troubled in your relationships, as you come forward, I ask that you will put your hands on the shoulder of the person that is standing in front of you. Don't be shy. Don't be scared. Come forward. And what I'm going to ask you all to do, I'm going to ask you all for the next 2 minutes, invite the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and pray for whatever is going on right now in your household, at your job, in your life, whatever. For these next 2 minutes, we're just going to have a silent prayer. Silence in the Lord's house. Silence. And when we get through, we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer. Let us go into silent prayer, asking for the Holy Spirit right now. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth
as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.